This is the DPHRO and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.
Number one pick in the NHL draft, but the man that can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's
from every trash, CMT for short. Wonder if we best, what you peep the score. Up at the crack of dawn, top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise to shine with 98.7. This is drop time. We provide highlights from your favorite teams. Got Dave and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
And a very good Tuesday morning, October the 19th, 2021. I had a nice night's sleep. A lot of good sports last night. A lot for us to get into. The NBA starts tonight. The Rangers. Oh, my God. What a win last night. A win, Rick. I know that's foreign to some people on the show, but the Rangers with a win last night. And let's get rolling. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Dave. Their win, my loss. Stayed up for that entire game last night.
No.
I'm telling you right now, I couldn't listen. You got Shesterkin playing as well as he played yesterday, especially in that second period. Rangers did not have a good second period.
No.
And he was phenomenal. I can't go to sleep on that.
So I can't believe it. So you get like these huge Yankees, Red Sox, wild card. You're like, you know what? I'll wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning. I'll watch it. But you have Rangers, Maple Leafs, game four, and you're all the way through.
You see that kind of goaltending we saw yesterday? That's what I enjoy watching.
That's what moves the needle for you.
That's what I'm talking about.
Save DiPietro!
But that game ended at like almost 10 o'clock.
Oh, I know. But staying up for that overtime was worth it. Back and forth.
Woo!
Wow. I mean, some of the saves. I mean, Shesterkin turns that puck over. Matthews has an open net. He comes back, makes a save. Then Trouba makes a good play on Matthews with an open net. And then they finally, I mean, the Rangers were getting dominated in the faceoff circle. Dominated the whole game. And then, of course, off a faceoff, it's Panarin gets the puck and he ends up putting it in.
Yep. Rangers win 2-1. Yep. Extra. Beautiful. Oh, what a great win.
Now, that was a tremendous win because you didn't deserve to win that game, but your goalie played phenomenal yesterday.
Yeah, we had like the opposite of the Bills last night. We didn't deserve to win it. We won it. They deserved to win it, and they didn't.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much. I mean, his feet slipped down at the end there, but I don't know, man. Derrick Henry is from a different planet.
He is. Now, listen, I stand by you never, ever, ever take a running back two. But if you were ever to take a running back second overall, he'd be the guy that you take. How did he go 44?
Dude, I mean, well, I think because, I mean, his running style, right? I mean, he's a big running back. Like, even when you watch him, like, watch him last night, it doesn't make sense to your eyes that somebody that big and that strong should run that fast. Like, he runs away from people because he's got that real upright running style, and he just takes off. And they're showing, I mean, yesterday during the game, they're showing his off-season workout regimen. How about when he's doing the fast feet on the hill, gets through it, and then runs, then sprints up the hill? The dude's a beast.
He really is.
But poor Mario Addison, who's not a small man. He stiff arm right to his chest, he goes down. And then poor Micah Hyde in the middle of the field, like, uh-oh. I'm going to have to tackle this dude.
But he does it every single week. I mean, you look at his stats. I mean, it's you know, and he gets, you know what's amazing about him? He
gets better
as the game goes on.
Yep. He wears you down.
You know, he started out actually slow last night until he had the run. He was fine. He didn't do anything special. A couple of 4-yard runs, 5-yard run, and then he breaks it off. And then as the game goes on, and what I like about them is even when they're behind in a game, they never, because you can't with him, abandon the running game, and they just feed him the ball over and over and over and over, and he gets better and better and better and better. That was a really good football game last night.
Well, they wear you down, right? I mean, you're also talking about a guy, I mean, he almost got to 22 miles an hour last night at his size, 22 miles an hour, which is insane. But, I mean, we brought up the clip the other day. You loved it, the Brandon Staley clip, talking about why you need to run the football.
That's right.
And, I mean, that's exactly what Tennessee does. I mean, Steve Levy said it last night. You're going to make business decisions. Like, they make you make business decisions because they're going to beat the hell out of you with Derrick Henry. They got, I mean, A.J. Brown is one of the more physical receivers in the game.
Julio and he's not Jones. Even healthy.
No, he's not even healthy. But, and that's how you protect a defense that's not great, right? You possess the football. But the Bills, I mean, the Bills will be kicking themselves for not winning that game last night.
Yeah. I mean, look, the thing is, they're going to win the division. I don't think there's
yes.
two ways about it. They're going to win the division. But anything, I think it's fair to say, anything short of a Super Bowl championship is a disappointment for the Bills this year or no?
Well, I think in their minds, right? I feel like they, you know, that win against
If you were a Bills fan, right? I know it's hard for us to think about being a fan of a team that's so good. But if you
I would say a trip. A trip to the Super Bowl.
Okay, so anything less than a trip to the Super Bowl you look at as it didn't work out the way we hoped this year, right?
Yeah, I mean, you slayed the dragon, right? Like, after last season, the coaching staff and players to a man said, you know, the team we're going to have to beat if we want to achieve our goals, the Kansas City Chiefs. And this season, that's exactly what they did.
And Kansas City doesn't seem to be, and it's a long year and there's a lot of games left, but they don't seem to be at the same level that they've been over the last couple of seasons. So my point is this. That loss last night could mean that you now don't have home field against, I don't know, a Chargers, a Ravens, one of those teams, and you'd kick yourself. Because in the grand scheme of things, you're going to win the division. I think everybody thinks the Bills are still by far the class and the best team in this division. But that could mean home field, which in theory could mean the difference between you going to the Super Bowl and not going to the Super Bowl.
Well, I think the other difference, though, too, for them is they have to find a way to establish a running game. They have to. I mean, that's clearly something that they have to get better at if they want to win the Super Bowl. As good as Josh Allen is, you know, scrambling around, and you saw that, I mean, his second to last play right there where he was half a yard. I mean, he's half a yard from the first down there by the goal line, and then his feet slip out at the end there on the fourth down play. But they have to find a way to run the football. They have to. I'll tell you right now, the sleeper Super Bowl team for me right now.
Wait, let me think. So you're obviously going AFC, right?
Well, yeah, we're talking about the AFC. Stay in the AFC.
Sleepy, you said, by the way?
I meant sleeper, yeah. I'm a little sleepy, yeah, so I meant sleeper.
The sleepy Super Bowl team. Well, I don't think it's anybody in the West.
This guy doesn't play sleepy, I can tell you that.
And play sleepy. The North? See, I'm thinking either Ravens. But it's a sleepy pick.
The Ravens are a sleeper pick, yeah. With all the injuries the Ravens are dealing with. I mean, they're down to, I mean.
So that would be a sleepy pick?
Yeah, that's a sleepy pick.
That's the sleepy pick you're talking about.
I mean, Lamar Jackson's taking his game to a whole different level. Whole different level.
He really is. And it's amazing. I don't know why. I don't love Lamar Jackson.
I don't know how you couldn't love the guy.
No. Don't get me wrong. He's terrific. He's an amazing athlete. He wins games. I just don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. But I don't know that style of play translates to winning a Super Bowl.
Yeah, but I think the one thing he's shown you, because the guy gets better every single offseason. He works on whatever he's deficient in and then comes back and he's better at it the following season. I mean, he's established in his ability. Like, he can deliver the ball from the pocket. He can now.
He's getting better. I agree.
He's still a freakish athlete with the ball in his hands.
You know what it is? This would be the thing that worries me. And maybe it's old school thinking and it's not fair, but I don't know how sustainable that is. Yes, he's, what, 25 years old. He'll be good for certainly another couple of years. Once his athleticism, maybe it changes. Maybe, you know, he becomes a better pocket quarterback and that changes. But once his athleticism starts to wane a little bit, is he going to be the same level of quarterback? Like, it's hard for me to envision great Lamar Jackson at 31 years old.
Yeah, but we're not talking about Lamar Jackson at 31 years old. We're talking about sleeper Super Bowl team this season.
Well, you know what? So what are they? They're 5-1, right?
Yeah, I mean, he's actually having a better season this year than he had in his MVP season right now.
He's having a great year. He's having and the thing that's incredible to me, and then you go back to the Giants, because everything for me does, and you're like, yeah, they look how the running back just doesn't even matter all that much. They have Devontae Freeman, Le'Veon Bell, Tyson Williams. Who else? I mean, who else do they have? Latavius Murray. I mean, they have just, oh, yeah, we'll take these journeymen because I have to, because this is the situation, right? Gus Edwards goes out. They're forced into, and look what
they're
able to do.
Went down. Edwards went down. They lost both corners. Their left tackle's not playing. I mean, you name it. They've been ravaged by injuries. And, I mean, it hasn't, maybe it catches up to them, but right now, I mean, in the moment, with how well he's playing.
So right now, would you say Baltimore is your favorite in the AFC?
Well, let's go through the AFC quickly, right?
All right,
so it's
well,
Buffalo. I mean, Buffalo's right there at the top of the list.
Yeah, but they're now a game behind Baltimore.
Kansas City, I don't trust that defense.
Well,
I trust the quarterback's going to clean this up, but I mean, he's and not the only
they'll
one.
They'll get in.
Football
I mean, all this thought about they're in trouble. They might be in trouble for their goal, which is to win the whole thing. They're not in trouble to make the playoffs, in my mind.
No, I'm not saying trouble. We're talking about teams to win the Super Bowl. You keep changing the conversation. You went from sleeper team this year to I can't see what Lamar Jackson's going to be at 31 to now. Like, let's just focus on what we're trying to do here this season.
I look at in my mind, right now, Buffalo as the favorite to go to the Super Bowl from the AFC.
As the favorite, you got Buffalo?
Yes.
I would say right now, especially with what I just saw the Ravens do to the Chargers, I would probably say I got the Ravens and the Bills probably right there at the top. Ravens, Bills right there at the top.
So those are your top two.
Right now, and then the tier below that, I would go
Chargers?
Chargers, Kansas City, Tennessee. But that's about it. I mean, your loaded AFC doesn't look so loaded now.
Oh, wait, first of all, I said it last season.
NFC feels more loaded this year than the AFC.
When did I say loaded AFC?
You said that last year.
Have I repeated that this year?
No, I was just making a point. It's not as loaded as
because,
you said
because
last year.
It pains you. That's the truth. The truth is, I had a statement which you thought was absurd, and you destroyed me for it. And I could not have been more right, and you could not have been more wrong. And it's haunted you for the last year. Every day you wake up, you're like, oh, I can't believe he got it. I can't believe he was so dead on with that. He was lucky. And then you started to mock me for such a genius take. And now even a year later, you still bring it up as if it pains you. Let it go.
It was one of the greatest takes you've ever had in your life. And I'm willing to accept it. Now, you're taking out on the K-Show that they played numerous times yesterday where Peter went after you, and I was disappointed you didn't call in. I felt like you should have called in yesterday.
I wasn't listening. I didn't know it took place. What happened?
A savage attack. It was a savage attack to you. He claimed that the only reason we brought up RJ not getting his wedding gift yet was as a distraction because of how you embarrassed yourself on
Now, I saw this on Twitter, and this is why he's a complete fraud. Complete fraud. I didn't bring up at all. I did not bring up the lack of a wedding gift to RJ. That was you.
Yeah, but it was an organic story. Like, we didn't get there because we were trying to set a distraction. We
no,
got there because you mentioned
we destroyed
that.
I don't understand what he's talking about. We destroyed the Giants for probably the better part of 3 hours yesterday. I was screaming at Santiago. I'm incensed to the nth degree. I'm distracting nothing. We're on for 3 hours. We're talking about, I don't even know how it came up, and you were just, I think we were talking about RJ's wedding, and then all of a sudden, I know what it was, because we were discussing what a great guy he was, that he picked up the suits and brought out a present to you on Long Island.
No, it was the thank you cards.
And then you just said,
thank you cards yet.
Right. Well, no, but I brought the thank you cards up after. And then organically, you said, by the way, did Peter get you a
wedding
present?
No, that is not what happened. No.
I think it is.
The show. No, it isn't. You brought up, you criticized RJ because you didn't get your thank you card.
No.
Yes.
I brought up the thank you cards after.
No.
I'm telling you.
RJ, please go back to the tape. You brought up the thank you cards, and then in defense of RJ, I said maybe he's waiting to get all his gifts.
I don't think
so. Has Peter given you your gift yet? That's how it came up.
Really?
I'm positive. I'm 100% positive.
Yeah. Now that you say that, it does make sense. But is it fair to say I didn't even bring up Peter?
No. Yeah, listen, you organically, I mean, it was your attempt because you were just criticizing and attacking everyone yesterday.
And I'll do it again, by the way. I'll do it again.
Well, of course you will, because you're a savage animal. And you like to tear down your teammates. So I was defending RJ, who's the greatest guy I know.
I love RJ.
That's how we got into it.
I love Raymond's one I don't care for. RJ, I adore.
Yeah, he's tired. You're sick of him. I can't even say what you said, I mean, multiple times again before the show today. Maybe we'll release the initials and people can figure it out themselves, but
I got to get out of this group text, by the way.
No, you're in the group text.
No, and I was actually...
I was actually you love it.
I was actually Googling last night how to remove yourself from group texts, and I'm not there yet.
No,
you Googled or you told Sherry to Google?
No, I Googled. If I asked her to do it, I would be
Google.
Out of the group text.
He does
text.
It every Wednesday and Saturday for Stump Rothenberg. He knows how to use Google. Stop.
I do know how to use the Google. And I Googled it,
know.
And I couldn't quite figure out. I think because Santiago is cheap and won't get an iPhone, I think that it makes it more difficult. But I'm going to get there, and I'm going to remove myself. And then when RJ's like, all right, by the way, guest at 7:30 today, I'll have no idea. I won't know anything.
Yeah, because you don't read the show sheet. You don't even look over your reads.
I look over
it's
my reads. What reads?
It's a lack of respect for poor RJ.
Hang on. What reads do you want me to look over right now?
You have to have reads.
No, no. You might have reads. RJ, do I have reads?
The email says, Dave, comma, reads to follow.
Yeah.
They're coming.
So you're airing RJ out is what you're doing.
I'm airing nobody out.
Now you're blaming RJ.
No. What you do is air out dirty laundry on the show. All right. You say, well, you don't even look at your reads. When is it that you want me to look at the reads when I don't have them yet? I'm not airing anybody out. I don't think it's RJ's fault.
All you have to say is, of course, I look at the reads. That's all you have to say. That's it.
But I don't have them.
Well, you don't have to admit that.
Well, why not?
Well, because it's, I mean...
Oh, we got to pretend here on the show? We're the open book show? That's what we are. We're honest with people. That's why our takes are so good. Because it's always honesty. I don't have the reads yet. I don't think it's a huge deal. But you say you haven't looked at them. You're right, I haven't. Why? I don't have them yet. And now everyone listening can know right now that at this moment, I don't have the reads.
I'm up all night. He sends me them last night. I'm sitting there watching overtime. I'm going through my reads.
What do you mean your reads? How many reads do you have?
Multiple reads today. What? Multiple.
There's no way you have more than that. I would put, if we're in Vegas, the over-under is 2.5 for your reads.
Big over today. Take the over. I even got an in-content read. How about that?
I don't
even
know about that.
You have to team me right up.
I know nothing about that. Absolutely nothing about that. All right. So jumping off point is football and really just making fun of everyone. 800-919-3776. We'll hear from Rosenberg, that little slimy guy. I mean, for him to say stuff about me is Washington football team was almost as bad as the Giants.
He took a victory lap for all 4 hours yesterday. All 4 hours.
For what?
Because he leads the K show in picks.
All right, I don't care
about
that.
He's been on fire. And then, because I knew it was going to happen, you told him that his pick was an awful pick. And he said, I'm going to beat you. I'm taking the Rams, and I'm gonna beat you right over the head against your New York Giants. And you said, I got to be honest, that's a terrible pick.
I didn't like the pick for him.
Well, he loved it, and he went with it. And then the best part is, too, is he picked Arizona, and you picked Cleveland.
All right, so you know the broken clock theory? That's what it was. Even a
Derek
broken clock
Henry
is right twice a day.
And the Purple Birds.
That's what we should have taken. It's the Purple Birds.
Derek Henry and the Tennessee.
We should have taken the other Derrick Henry team, the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah, but the Purple Birds cover too. I mean, easily.
Yeah, we could have taken anything involved with either of Derrick Henry's teams. We would have
either of Derrick Henry's teams would have been good.
we could have taken the Purple Birds. We could have taken the Tennessee Titans. Any team that Derrick Henry plays on, we could have taken and won, but we didn't, and we lost, and we're now a game behind them.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast,
and welcome aboard.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcast. This is DiPietro and Rothenberg.
So Sherry and I are dating for, I don't know, maybe a month. And her very close friend calls her and says, Sherry, I got to tell you, he is absolutely wonderful. If you don't think that you might have a real future with him, can I get a shot?
Come on.
God is my witness, I swear. And Sherry says, I'm sorry, I agree. I think he's great. I think he could be the one.
Do you still see this friend?
We're in touch, yes.
That could be an interesting little dinner party.
This is DiPietro and Rothenberg.
Like that kind of party?
On 98.7 ESPN.
If I didn't love you, I'd be good by now. I'd be better.
It is the 6 o'clock hour. DiPietro and Rothenberg with you, 98.7 ESPN. By the way, I told you the story. This is why my wife is the best. In the 5 o'clock hour, I told you the story how my grandmother told her, you know, I don't know that he's going to ever amount to much, but he's a great guy. Sherry's listening, says that was at the venue right before the wedding started. I mean, can you, what is going on? And this is my grandmother.
Complete transparency.
Like I mean, it's no wonder that I get a bad reputation. If the people closest to me tell my bride to be minutes away, listen, he's a great guy, but if you're marrying him for his money, you're making a mistake and he'll probably never amount to anything. I mean, how do I have any chance?
Oh, you're an acquired taste. I mean, it's the people close to you know you. And there's some baggage that comes along with Dave Rothenberg.
And see, I don't see that.
No, listen, you got to live with some of the bad to experience and enjoy all the good.
Nothing I can do!
Nobody's perfect.
Oh, my God.
You got some flaws. That's fine.
I guess. But for my grandmother, what happens if Sherry's like, you know what, Grandma, you're right, and she ups and leaves?
Could you imagine that? Where did she go? Runaway bride. Well,
where did
I
she
just
go?
Saw her over there
Grandma,
with Nana.
Grandma, and why did Sherry run away? I don't. I just had a conversation with her, and she didn't want to stay here anymore.
Oh, you got to appreciate the grandmothers, though. They whatever's on their mind, they'll just say it.
She will just let you know exactly what she's thinking. Time now for some Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. We'll get into this Rosenberg story, this little Weasley Rosenberg guy, in a little bit. But you would say that of all the people that cover the NFL, you know what? I'm gonna let you guess. Who do you respect the most? National reporter covers the NFL. Who are the people that you look at and you say, top of the heap?
Reporter or insider?
All of it. Reporter, insider, the best, the biggest that covers the NFL. National level.
Well, the biggest... I mean, if we're all in, the biggest is close friend of mine, Adam Schefter.
Okay, fair. That's one. I agree. That's not the person. Keep going.
That's not the person.
That's not the person I'm thinking of.
Rappaport is big.
Okay. This guy on that level.
He's on that level.
I think if you walked up to a big football fan and said Ian Rappaport or this guy, they'd say this guy bigger.
Really? Bigger than Rappaport?
I think so.
I mean, Rappaport's like the NFL Network's Shefty.
This guy, huge. Huge.
I mean, Chris Mortensen's right there.
I think he's bigger than Mort.
He's bigger than Mort?
RJ and Raymond can help you. Bigger.
Oh, my. Peter King?
There you go.
I wouldn't consider it. I mean, he's...
Peter King is big.
I consider him more a journalist than a reporter. Right? I mean, don't you guys
all
consider
right,
him
a reporter inside? I think he's all-encompassing.
Yeah, he's omnipresent. Look at that word. Harvard.
Yeah, that's right. All right, so the reason that I bring that up is he was taking to Twitter yesterday, and I was monitoring the Twitter, as I tend to do. And Rahul Kohl tweeted him, "Can we start pushing for Tish to replace Mara, please?" And Peter, I want to go through just a couple of responses, then we'll react off of it. Peter says, "The issue is personnel, personnel, personnel. Giants need a modern, forward-thinking GM. Today, you don't pick a running back with the second pick," right? So that we could not agree with more, okay?
Well, he's stating the obvious, yeah.
Right, but so then this guy responds, "But does Mara want to hire a modern GM?" And Peter King says, "He'd better. Giants have the worst record in football the last 5 years, and fans will not take another traditional/family hire."
Well, I told you that yesterday. You asked me, how does it change? I told you, the only one that can make this change is Steve Tisch. He's the money guy. He's the only one on the same level as John Mara that can force him to be uncomfortable a little bit with a decision to go in that direction. Because clearly, if it's left to just him, he's going to continue to promote from within. That's what he wants to do.
And that's just not okay. And the fan base needs to make it known that they want a differing regime for the Giants, I guess it's fair to say. Now, let's take a listen to Donnie, and then we'll react.
I mean,
off
Sunday
of
was a good start, wasn't it? I mean, that was embarrassing.
And maybe that's what you need. And maybe that's why I talked to my buddy yesterday, and he's like, I'm rooting for Carolina. Think about what the organization is now doing. The organization is now forcing their passionate, diehard, fanatical fans into, because I need it stripped down and completely renovated and redone, I need to root for Carolina. That's a terrible position to be put in.
Well, what have they had to, I mean, what have you had to cheer about? If you're one of these season ticket holders that spends all this money and all this time to go support your team. I mean, since that, the boat trip situation, I mean, the team's won 9 home games.
That 9 and what? 9 and 26?
9 and 26.
I mean, that's repulsive. I mean, look at the teams around the NFL. Jaguars, Giants worse. Browns, Giants worse. Jets, Giants worse. There is no team in all of football that the Giants have a better record than since the boat trip.
Yeah, since the start of 2017. They
gross.
Are, record-wise, the worst team in the NFL.
It's gross. Here's Donnie yesterday on the K Show saying it's time for the Giants to change things up now.
Could we stop treating the Giants like they're the New York Yankees, the Montreal Canadiens, and the Boston Celtics? They're not. Stop it already. They're a garbage organization right now. They can't get out of their own way. They can't hire coaches. They can't hire general managers. They're awful. They're just awful at football. Let's be honest. They're awful at football. And it's time that people recognize that and start making some changes. And you know what? Stop promoting from within and hiring general managers that used to work for the organization. Why? It's garbage. Change. Find an organization that knows how to do it and hire their people. That's what you should do. The Giant way, my ass. I'm tired of hearing about it, all right? And it's, again, it's coming from a fan.
Wow. I didn't even know you could say that on the air.
He said it multiple times. He even tweeted it yesterday.
Really? Well, tweeting
it was the word of choice.
Thing, but to say it on the airwaves.
He had two. I thought he was going to go for three. I thought he was going to go for the hat trick, but he didn't.
He had two. See, I think I say that and it gets dumped.
There was a lot of foul language yesterday. We had Rex. Rex gave us the B word yesterday.
Yeah.
Donnie's dropping A-bombs all over the place.
All over the place. But he's not wrong.
Orlovsky with the Tommy Tough.
Oh, we'll hear that in a minute, too.
Tough nuggets.
But he's not wrong.
No, he's not wrong. We've been saying it. Everyone's been saying it. You know it. I mean, you're a diehard Giants fan. You know this isn't working. You said it before. Listen, we all said it before they hired Gettleman.
I didn't like that, right?
Gettleman.
I didn't like that.
No one liked it. Dave. When you do what we do every single day for 3 hours, you like to put me in uncomfortable spots where we're making predictions and everything else. But, I mean, sometimes you're right. Sometimes you're wrong.
Sure.
But in those, I mean, there are situations where we have conversations about, I mean, Gettleman was a huge conversation. Saquon Barkley was a huge conversation. In both of those decisions, we didn't like. We knew it would be Gettleman. We felt like, okay, this is what the Giants are going to do because that's their way. But it was we didn't feel like that was the right decision.
And I will tell you this, never once with my displeasure of hiring Gettleman and drafting Barkley did I think it would be this. Like, I didn't think it would be this bad, Rick.
No, I don't think anyone thought it was going to be this bad. I mean, go back. I mean, we keep referencing, you know, the start of 2017. But, I mean, that 2016 season, I mean, outside of that ridiculous boat trip and everything else, I mean, Giants went out, spent a ton of money, and they ended up in the playoffs.
That's right.
Right? And then from that point on, it's been complete trash.
You know,
I mean,
it's weird.
Eli debacle. I mean, you name it.
You name it. The way they, yeah. I mean, coach after coach after coach. Another GM in here. It looks like you're going
to have another
regime.
But again, but why though? But why? What's the common theme? What's the common thread? What hasn't changed? What continues to be a problem? We want to put all this blame on Gettleman. The problem right now has been John Mara. He's been the problem.
Yes, but let's not say that Gettleman gets off scot-free.
No, but
Gettleman has
reason,
been a major problem.
Okay, listen, you're not wrong. And at the time, we didn't think that Gettleman, we felt like they needed to go in a new, young, fresh direction. And I think there's a lot of Giants fans that would have loved having Lewis Riddick as the new GM, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
My point is that the reason why a guy like Dave Gettleman gets hired, the reason why, you know, you go from Ernie Accorsi to now Jerry Reese is because there's a level of comfort with John Mara and the GM.
Because that's the Giants' way. And it's always
been
the Giants'
way. It's his way because he likes to be involved. And these guys, because he's comfortable with them, allow him to be involved. I mean, you talk about the decision to draft Saquon Barkley. Is that a Gettleman decision? Or is that, you know, the owner, because he's emotionally attached to Eli, saying, hey, we want to go one more time with Eli?
Well, you want to say it stinks from the top down? That's fine.
But it sets off a chain reaction, though, Dave.
You blame Mara, blame all of them. Blame Gettleman, blame Judge, blame the players. I don't think anybody is blameless here. I think from the top all the way down, there's blame to go around.
Your head coach. Okay, let me ask you a question here. Dave Rothenberg owns a professional team. I don't care what the sport is.
I'd be such a good owner.
Okay. Now you make the decision, I'm going to hire my GM. And then your GM, who, I mean, obviously you trust because you hired him, hires his head coach. And you're sitting around and you're trying to make, you know, decisions moving forward here. And my GM feels strong about the coach he hired. This guy, he's a football guy. He knows his football. And coach comes to you and says, hey, listen, I got to be honest. I mean, this quarterback is past it. We have to come up with some kind of plan here moving forward to address this. And he says, you know what we should do? Have you seen this Pat Mahomes kid? This is the kid we should draft.
Mm-hmm.
And the owner says, no, we're all set. We got our guy. I mean, that's where the Giants are at.
I
mean,
I get it. And
this is a guy
wrong.
Who's not qualified to make these decisions, having
you're
a big
right.
part in making these decisions.
But that's years ago now. It shouldn't still be so bad. If that's part of the reason that it
you're still paying the price for
time.
It, though. Well, what do you mean? You're still paying the price for it. All those decisions back then trickled down to the decisions that you make moving forward. You don't take Saquon Barkley with the second overall pick if the mandate from ownership isn't, let's go one more time with Eli.
Listen, I'm not saying it doesn't
You don't
have
go spend
impact.
All that money on Nate Solder.
But look at the drafts that this guy has had. He moved, I mean, Dexter Lawrence is fine. He moved up to take DeAndre Baker, garbage. Sam Beal, I mean, you look. Yes, you want to say that the ownership has not done everything to try to help this team win, and they were had this tremendous allegiance to Eli Manning. You're not wrong. But Gettleman, if you look at what he's done, I mean, they bring in Galladay at high price. He doesn't look great right now. Adoree Jackson, I mean, trading for Leonard Williams, not dealing Evan Engram. You can't sit here and tell me, and I'm not deflecting. I think the ownership has been bad, but you can't place all the blame on the Maritish contingent.
Well, no, I'm not blaming Tish. I'm blaming Mara.
Fine. But you can't. You want to say it's been a reason? I agree with you. But
he's
Gettleman
the reason why Dave Gettleman,
job.
Who you hate, is the GM. That's the point. He's the reason Dave Gettleman is allowed to make the decisions that he's allowed to make.
It's time to move in a different direction. I agree with you. It's time. Let's go.
What's the most important position in all professional sports?
Quarterback.
Okay, have you addressed that position yet, really? Do you know?
They've addressed it. I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't
do
know
you know if you have a
properly.
Quarterback yet?
No, I don't know that he's the answer, no.
Okay, do the Buffalo Bills know if they have a quarterback?
They do.
Okay, was he available when you drafted Saquon Barkley with the second overall pick?
Yes,
okay.
He was.
But it's impossible.
Why are you lecturing me, though?
Well, no, because you don't understand what I'm saying. It becomes now, the decisions you made back then are still haunting you. Because ownership said, we're going to hire you, but under these certain circumstances. We want to go one more time with Eli. So now, if I'm Dave Gettleman, I don't care if you think I'm good or not, how do I fall in love with a quarterback if quarterback's not a real option? Because I've been told by ownership, we have our quarterback, and we're going to try to build around Eli for one last run. So now, what's my priority? Well, I got to get him a weapon. You know, what would help him out? Well, I got a generational running back who's been touched by the hand of God. I'll take him. Then I'm going to throw a boatload of money at Nate Solder and try to address the offensive line. Are you still paying the price for having Nate Solder? Yep.
Sure are.
I mean, Saquon Barkley hurt again? Yep. I mean, this is what I'm talking about. Because now, rather than say, you know what? Hey, Dave, I'm hiring you. You're a football guy. You decide where we're at. Take a look at this team. If you don't think Eli can still play, if we need to have, you know, a quarterback waiting that can learn from Eli moving forward that we can transition to, then we should do that. I mean, I have a hard time believing that when you look at what Josh Allen is now and what you saw from Josh Allen at the time, that you wouldn't fall in love with someone like that.
I wanted him at the time.
But you can't fall in love when that's not an option.
No, you can't. Again, he's not blameless to me. But to sit here and say that Gettleman hasn't done a horrendous job.
Oh, he has.
Both can be bad.
But the owner empowered him to make these decisions.
Well, you know what? The owner needs someone that he's comfortable with. And that has to change and has to change with the next hire, which will be after this season.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I'll give it to you whenever you want it.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
I just asked RJ, I said, you think the dinner party really happens? And he says, only if you facilitate it, meaning me. He said, only if you push him to the point that he really feels like he's backed into a corner. Otherwise, no chance.
I don't believe that RJ said that.
RJ?
I didn't say no chance. I said the more you talk about it, the more motivated he will be.
And you said if you don't talk about it, then what did you say?
Then you said by the end of the year.
Right. That is true. By the end of the year.
Yeah, then if we were to just drop it, then I think, see, now this is the motivation here, though, which works to your advantage. But if we just dropped it here, then I'd say it dipped under 50%, I would say.
See? He doesn't think it happens.
I had him at the house. I had him and Angie at the house. They couldn't wait to leave. I was like, no, stay.
Had him at the house. He stopped by to deliver a present and your suits.
Yeah, and then he also went on an eating extravaganza around the island is what he did. Don't let him fool you. He's burying apple cider donuts, pizza. He's all over the place.
Oh, really?
I had some delicious items.
I was like, you should stay. Let's hang out. He's like, no, I don't want to bother you. I said, you're not bothering me. Come hang out.
He had very, very serious matters to attend to. He told me about...
I like the company.
He told me about a man that walks his dog wearing a full-fledged suit, and I was like, I don't belong here. They're gonna sniff me out.
Be honest, RJ. Have you seen a home like this in the past? Or was this... I mean, this home was spectacular.
It's understated. Very understated.
Yeah. I only saw, I'd say, 20% of the home.
Hide the money, y'all. There's poor people around.
Yes. Yes, I was the poor people around. Yes. Yes, it's luxurious, but they are. They're very normal people. They just happen to have a couple bucks, you know.
When you were leaving, did they pat you down to make sure you weren't taking any of the like the gold bullion and stuff?
Yeah, metal detectors, yeah.
Yeah.
RJ, did I feel like more of a man when you saw me? I mean, I haven't seen you in a while since I got the pickup truck. Did I feel like more of a man?
Boy, the truck's impressive. And Dave, you would need some kind of lift to get up there. I would need to be dropped from a helicopter so high.
I was going to say, if I need a lift, what would you need?
Shoot RJ from a cannon into the front seat.
No, it's beyond me. I could never, ever work in a pickup truck like that. Just wouldn't work for me.
I think you would love it.
I don't think so. Now, DPH or Rothenberg, presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests on the show appear right here on the Goodyear Hotline. And let's do some Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract and no compromise. NBA starts tonight. What do we have, Milwaukee and Brooklyn?
Milwaukee, Brooklyn, retribution, baby.
And Golden State and the Lakers, right? Is that the doubleheader?
Lakers had a bad preseason too, but yeah, good little night. Little appetizer into the NBA season.
That's right. Little nugget with the
taste.
With the NBA. Yeah, it's great. So you'll watch Brooklyn, and they certainly are an intriguing story, but their season will be made based on what they do in the postseason, not the regular season.
Yeah, I mean, their aspirations are to win the championship, yeah. That's their goal. But you'll pay attention to it. I mean, they got two of the best players on the planet. They bring in Patty Mills. I mean, you got Aldridge back, Griffin, a lot of depth in the front court.
Did I see also they brought in Paul Millsap?
Yep, they got Millsap.
Oh,
correct.
My God.
Yeah, I mean, this team, even without Kyrie Irving, is one of the favorites to win the championship. Now, with Kyrie, they become
the prohibitive favorite.
Yeah,
but they're not one. They are the favorite, right? Even without Kyrie, are they still the favorite to win the whole thing?
Yeah. Yeah, and they should be. I mean, Kevin Durant, go back. Like I said, retribution, right? Like, I mean, it's a shoe that he wears that's a size too big because it's more comfortable away from that being a three. But even more important than that, go back to game five, where he played every single minute of the game, went for 49, 17, and 10.
Yeah, he was awesome.
I mean, the dude is special, man. He's efficient, you name it. And all he wants to do is play basketball. That's why he's like, he's all set with this whole thing. Like, yeah. I don't want to deal with this distraction.
He's so turned off by any of the side distractions.
And it's going to be on Steve Nash to keep this thing together and make sure they can. I mean, one of the things they lacked last year because of injuries and everything else was continuity, right? But they're so talented that they found their way through it. I mean, Kyrie goes down. Harden's not Harden by any stretch. I mean, he's on one leg. So it's trying to keep everyone healthy, right? Get everyone on the same page and keep everyone healthy so you can make your run. That's the goal.
So I brought up their roster. Now, this can't be their active roster because this looks like it's too many guys. But LaMarcus Aldridge, Bruce Brown, like real guy, like Nick Claxton, like these are real players. Durant, we know, obviously. Blake Griffin, Harden, Joe Harris, Patty Mills, Millsap, De'Ron Sharp. Well, look out for De'Ron Sharp. Watched a lot of him in North Carolina. I think he only went there for 1 year, but 6'11", big banger. I mean, there's so much talent on that team.
Yeah, it's a really good team. It absolutely is. That's why they're the favorite. But again, it goes back to just let's manage them the right way, keep them healthy, so they can do what they're setting out to do here, which is win a championship.
That's right. Anything less than that is a failed season, right? And we can have that discussion today, October 19th, or on June 1st. Anything less than a championship for this team is a failed season.
Yeah, I would imagine that's the mindset. Yeah, I'm sure Brooklyn Nets fans feel the same way. Because right now, I mean, you only have Kevin Durant's the only one that signed his extension. That's it. So you have Harden for this year. Financially, it makes more sense for him to wait. He said he wants to be a Brooklyn Net, but you never know until he signs on the dotted line. And then apparently they pulled the extension from Kyrie. So, this is an important year.
Huge year. And you'll root for, I know you're a Knicks fan, first and foremost, but you'd like to see them do well or you'd like to see them flounder?
A little piece of me wants to see them flounder a little bit.
Yeah, so do I.
But I don't think that's going to happen.
So you think they win the whole thing?
Yeah, I think they end up in the finals, yeah.
Well, no, but beyond that, you think they win the whole thing?
Oh, what do we got in the West?
You got the Lakers.
Ooh, yeah. Yeah, I would say if they stay healthy, they should win the championship.
Yeah, I agree. I hope they don't. I'd like to see it fall apart.
Now, what happens, though? Here's the thing, though. Here's my question to you. What happens if, like, midway through the season, say things change in New York, new mayor, things change, mandates change, but you're rolling. Team is rolling. I mean, what do you do with Kyrie?
Right back.
Bring him right back.
Right back.
That's going to be an interesting dynamic. That'll be a story the whole time.
Every single day. It is the Nets are playing the Bucks / Kyrie Irving every single day. But of course, if he's welcome back, you have to bring him back.
Yeah, because don't forget, in that Bucks series too, you had Kyrie for the first two.
And then he got hurt.
But you won those first two, and you're like, okay, you know, now we're, this is, here we go.
Look at what it took for Milwaukee to win that series, right? Durant was sensational. Amazing. But you had Kyrie, who was out, Harden, who was out, and then a shell of himself, and Joe Harris, who was putrid.
He was awful.
Putrid. And you still almost lost the series if you're Milwaukee.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's how good. It speaks to how good. I mean, how good Kevin Durant is.
Sensational.
I'll be interested to see what happens with Steve Nash, too. You got no Mike D'Antoni.
Mm-hmm.
Coaching staff is different. The expectations are through the roof.
Well, at least he has a year under his belt.
Well, no, yeah. But, I mean, it's some interesting circumstances surrounding the team of this season.
I think what we should do, and specifically to put you in an uncomfortable position, NBA predictions tomorrow.
Nope.
Yep.
Nope.
RJ, what time do you want to do the NBA predictions tomorrow?
So I can be off. Let me know so I can shut my Comrex off at that time. Let me know.
I can't release it. We can't make this public. We just have to spring it on them.
Okay. You and I will talk off the air. We'll set the appropriate time and we'll run with it.
Yeah. By the way, I'm waiting for the MLB awards to come out. We're going to do some reaction to the baseball predictions.
I look forward to that. You think I'll get any?
I peeked at them. Rick did well. Dave, you didn't do bad, but Rick did well.
Really?
Yeah. Well, we still got to let some things play out too. So.
Right. We need the World Series winner, all that kind of stuff.
Right.
Pedro Hernandez tweets in. Rothenberg, ESPN, be a man, get a truck. Maybe there should be a class on man camp for how to drive a truck. Mm.
Stick shift, trucks.
Can you drive a stick?
Oh, yeah. Yes, I can. Try to teach Cass? No, not happening.
Yeah, no, it's not easy.
No, she almost. It felt like the engine fell out of the vehicle.
And really, at this point in life, there's no reason to know how to drive a stick.
I had to drive one in and out of the city. When we gave away that Mustang, they decided to give... Let's have a stick shift Mustang to give away, and you should drive it with your picture on the side of it, with your picture and Alan's picture on the side of it.
So you drove a car with your picture on the side. So people pulled up next to you and they just saw this. Wasn't that embarrassing for you?
Oh yeah, especially when you have to stop on the side of the road to pee because you were going to pee your pants, and people are beeping at you because your face is right next to where you're going to the bathroom.
Hey Rick,
hey look, it's Humpty from Haunted Humpty just taking a pee right there on the side of the road.
Nice.
Great.
You pull over on like major thoroughfares to go
I had
to the bathroom.
I had to. I was stuck in so much traffic. I couldn't go anywhere. This was before the whole bottle thing came to pass. And I was like, I'm going to pee my pants or I have to pull over.
Yeah, but you couldn't have found a side street where not everyone is driving.
I was on the bridge. I was on the bridge.
You peed on the bridge?
As soon as I got through, yeah, I had to pull over to the side of the road.
You should have peed off the bridge.
No, I'm not going to pee off the bridge. I'd be scared to death.
See which way the wind is blowing.
Thanks for listening to the DPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
And welcome aboard.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Mike Tenenbaum, our resident general manager, joins us here on 98.7 ESPN. Never once do you reach out and say, Dave, I know things are obviously very difficult for you. I'm here if you need to talk to someone or a shoulder to cry on. Never one time, Mike.
Well, actually, it's funny you mention that because I feel like I did something philanthropic for you this morning because, as I know, you're always fastidiously looking at my Twitter feed and I put out something very positive about your New York football Giants. Do you know that of 120 snaps that Andrew Thomas has played this year, according to our ESPN blocking metrics, he has a positive ranking literally 104 out of 120 graded snaps.
That's pretty good, huh?
Yeah, so I'm just here to make your day a little bit better. And in all seriousness, like when you watch the tape, guys, it marries the statistics. And for all the things that haven't gone well for the Giants, I think the quarterback continues to get better despite some turnovers this week. and you have what I think is a frontline left tackle, hopefully for the next decade.
Good thing he's healthy, Dave.
Yeah. Well, he's not healthy.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's a good thing those great numbers will translate to this weekend's game.
Listen, see what he tries to do, Mike. Let's not let him rate it. We have so few things to grasp onto. Let's grasp onto the positives. Thomas, Kadarius, Tony looks good. But here's what I would start out by asking you. I can't believe that we're 6 weeks in, and I don't know if you feel like this or not, but it kind of feels like Joe Judge's tenure here with the Giants is really, really hanging in the balance over the next couple weeks.
Yeah, I certainly hope it isn't, and here's why. I think he has a chance to be a really good coach. And if you're a Giant fan, the worst thing wouldn't be to move on from Joe Judge. The worst thing would be to move on from Joe Judge and see him be a really good coach someplace else. So I think he's a guy that has an open sort of growth mindset. He's going to learn from his mistakes. He's a young guy. And if you're John Mara, if you're the Tishes, the Maras, and you hire a guy with his background, you got to think, like, we're betting on the upside. We're betting on the long term. And I think it would be disappointing to pull the plug on that prematurely because he's a smart, hardworking, tough guy. And I think it's really hard. I'm just telling you guys, as a GM, it's really hard to evaluate his performance given, you know, it's just catastrophic what's going on from an injury perspective.
Didn't the Lions think the same thing, Mike, with Matt Patricia, where he came from, strong, hardworking guy?
Yeah.
Like, I get it. Yeah. I understand it. But I've been in locker rooms, though, man. I mean, coaches like him, the message that they preach, all the tough guy stuff, if we don't win, I mean, that gets old in a hurry in a locker room. And they're not doing much winning at the moment.
Yeah, no, that's totally fair, Rick. But, you know, the counter to that is there's countless guys, and I'm not saying he's going to be Bill Belichick, but I work for Coach Belichick in Cleveland. I work for Coach Belichick in New York. He's the same guy. Now, he's learned, he's probably evolved, but his core principles, I promise you, when I hear him speak or talk, it's the same thing he was talking about in the mid-90s in Cleveland. And all I'm saying, when you think about him, the Pete Carrolls of the world, you know, Pete stumbled at the Jets, went to New England, stumbled there. The rest is history. And I think Joe Judge is going to have a very long career as a coach. There's a lot of things that I like what he does. And who are you going to get that you know for sure is going to be better than Joe Judge?
Yeah, but here's the thing, though, Mike. And this is why it's such a precarious, Harvard word, situation for the Giants. We all, I mean, I know Dave is, I mean, he's been pounding the table for the last couple of years that Dave Gettleman needs to be fired. So what happens now? If you think that they should keep Joe Judge, I've seen arranged marriages. You know, GM takes over the team and inherits the coach. Like, how do you deal with that if you're the Giants?
Yeah, look, I've been in both of those situations where I've come in with a coach, where I've hired a coach. And look, it's a partnership, it's a marriage, it's about communication. And I think if everyone in that building says, hey, this is what we want a New York Giant to look like, by position, and you have earnest conversation and transparency, it can work. And again, when you hired him, he was a special teams coach that came from a great background, worked for Nick Saban, worked for Coach Belichick. So I don't think when they hired him, they said, wow, it's going to be perfect a year and a half into it. And again, if you want to give him the benefit of the doubt, you could say the quarterback looks better, and there's a lot of good young players on this team.
You think he's done a good job, though, Mike? That would be my question to you. I mean, they're 1-5.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I forget who I heard yesterday. It might have been Orlovsky, someone that says it looks like they're being outcoached in every single game. It's just like, I don't know. I get it that they're very injured and banged up right now. But my question to you is, do you think he's done a good job with this team this year?
No, not yet. But I do think some of these young players are getting better. And that, to me, is if the three of us were hiring a coach, we would look at some of the trends we're going to look at is, did he take players in lower rounds and make them better? Did he take first rounders and maximize their ability? And I would say in his short tenure, that arrow to me is actually up. And one of the many things I would disagree with Orlovsky on, but I think Daniel Jones has gotten better. I think Bradbury has taken a step back. I think Leonard Williams has taken a step back. And you could put that on him. You could put it on Patrick Graham. But overall, I think there's a good young nucleus. And again, if we go back to the Saint game when Saquon was out there, and the thing about Saquon, guys, is what we don't talk enough about is what he does out of the backfield, because that puts immense pressure on a defense. He can make the one or two plays in a game to flip the game like he did against the Saints. And when you get him back with Tony and Galladay, John Ross, to me, is a guy that was an under-the-radar signing. Ingram, it's a good group of young nucleus of skill players that most teams would trade theirs. If you look in the division, yeah, I'd rather have Dallas's, but after that, Washington or Philly, I'd rather have the Giants. So I don't think it's perfect, but I don't know. I would err on the side of being patient, disappointed, but I would still carry on with him.
Mike Tannenbaum joins us here on the show. Mike, something that bothered me that happened on Sunday, not even that they got their, you know, 28 points in the second quarter, got embarrassed and everything else, but, I mean, Daniel Jones, I mean, the hit he took, he's out on his feet against Dallas. I know he got through concussion protocol and everything else, so you decided to play him, but, I mean, couple quarterback sneaks, which are just free shots of the quarterback, which I didn't think was the right call, and then it's 38-3, and for some reason he's still in the game, dropping back. He dropped back 51 times. He threw the ball 51 times in that game. I mean, I get it. Let's compete for 60 minutes, but did you have a problem with that, or did you think that was all right?
Yeah, I didn't love that either, and, you know, I remember talking to Jay Billis, the great basketball commentator for ESPN before the draft. When Daniel Jones came out, he was telling me how tough he was and what a great athlete he was. And of course, I totally ignored him because I thought that was like a Duke guy, you know, propping up another Duke guy. But I think one of the things that was a real positive this week, guys, was that he answered the bell. And if you ask Coach Parcells about when did he know that Phil Simms was going to be a great player, it was when he threw four interceptions, got back into the huddle the following Wednesday, and everybody in that huddle believed in Phil Simms. And I think what happened this past week was there was a lot of his teammates that like, wow, Daniel Jones, man, he is tough. We could count on him. And that didn't show up against the Rams, but I'm telling you, like, that's an important step for him.
Mike Tannenbaum with us here, 98.7 ESPN. You're sounds like leaning towards keeping Joe Judge. We'll see what the final 11 games bring, but okay, fine. There's no way that Gettleman can survive this disaster of yet another season. If he doesn't, and most assume that there's no chance that he can, do they have to go outside the family and bring someone in who's just innovative and smart and someone that maybe they don't know all that well and they're not comfortable with, but just someone that can change the direction that this franchise is heading in?
Yeah, I think you run a great process. I think that's a really fair point, Dave. And if you run the right process, you'll get the right result. There are a lot of great young front office people, some I know better than others. But clearly, yeah, you want to bring in some ideas. You want to, again, go through a great process. Their assistant GM, Kevin Abrams, has been there a long time. He's a smart, capable executive. I'm sure he'll get an interview. And then, again, we're talking about things that we don't even know if there's an opening. But if you run an earnest process, usually you're going to get the right result. And by the way, like, give them credit on Joe Judge. Like, they certainly didn't take the easy answer. They didn't just go hire Jason Garrett to pick a name. Like, they went out, they went through a process, and they found someone that they really liked, you know, much the way Sean McVay was hired in the Rams or Brandon Staley at the Chargers, and, you know, we'll see how it works out. But I always give credit to people that do exactly what you said, Dave, like take their time and be thorough.
Yeah, why would you even consider hiring like maybe an Eric Bieniemy, like an offensive coordinator with the young quarterback? That makes too much sense. Mike, last night's game, did you have a problem? I mean, did you like the aggressiveness there going for the, I mean, it was less than a yard late in that game, or would you have kicked the field goal?
100%, and some of the best teams I've been on, going back to those great Jet teams with Rex Ryan, he used to have a really funny expression, which was like, there was a couple times in playoff games we would go for it and fourth and one. He's like, hey, not only are we going to run the ball here, but I'm telling the other team we're going to run it. And we're so good at what we do that they know it, we know it, and we're going to get a yard. And I think when you have Josh Allen, you want the whole world to know, hey, guess what? We're going to run the ball with Josh Allen, try to stop us. And I think that was the mindset, and I think, again, Rick, you can relate as a former player. I think players over time appreciate and respect that there's great belief by the head coach.
Are the Chiefs in trouble? I mean, they get the big win in Washington. Their defense does not look very good. Mahomes turning the football over. We've never seen this from him. You still look at them as a team that can go to the Super Bowl?
You know, let's put a pin in that question. I think if I was them, I'd do everything I could to go get Joe Hayden. Joe Hayden's a corner on a team in Pittsburgh that, you know, has a little bit of life here, but in all probability will either not make the playoffs or barely make it. He's a good player that could make them a lot better. And what we're seeing, guys, is Patrick Mahomes was on a rookie contract. He signs an extension, and good football players are going to leave. Someone like Sammy Watkins on the offensive side of the ball. And when you look at defensively, Frank Clark's a good pressure player, the Honey Badger, Tyrann Mathieu. But after that, it's not good. They can't pressure the quarterback. They can't play man-to-man and get off the field on third down. So when you can't do those things, it puts a lot of pressure on your quarterback. And even though Patrick Mahomes is the best player in the sport, he is pressing right now.
Yeah, too many turnovers. I mean, you got the last thing you want to do when your defense isn't very good is turn the football over as much as they're doing. Mike, so today as we sit here through 6 weeks, who would you put as your front runner for defensive player of the year?
Every guest? Seriously?
Oh. I mean, Trayvon Diggs to me has to be the guy. I mean, the way he's turned the ball over, yes, and scored. Yeah, I don't.
That's what they're looking for. Because I said it's going to be Myles Garrett and Santiago, who you know, who's our technical engineer, and Rick. They're just chomping at the bit that it's going to be Trayvon Diggs. And I tell them it's not, and they just don't believe that.
Whether he deserves it or not, he's going to get it. He's a really good player. He turns the ball over, but you know, he scored a touchdown, and then 10 seconds later gave up a double move for a touchdown to Kendrick Bourne the other night. So, look, he's having a great year. I think he'll be the player of the year.
All right, there you go. You feel good now?
I feel great. Mike, is that defense good enough, though? This is for Santi. Is that defense going to hold up enough to make it a legitimate possibility that this Cowboys team could compete for a championship or no?
Here's why. Yes, two names. Kelvin Joseph, second-round pick out of Kentucky, corner, and more importantly, DeMarcus Lawrence. Dan Quinn's done a remarkable job. They're a defensive coordinator. They've played over 30 players on defense already, and they're going to get back two players that are really good. So, in my opinion, they've been good, and they have a chance to get better. We just talked about Kansas City. How do they get better? Look at the Cowboys. They got two good young players that are going to come back to help them.
So, who's the best team in the NFC right now? You got a lot to choose from.
Yeah, there's four teams, Dave, in my opinion, draw the line. Rams, Tampa. I think you got to put Dallas into that conversation right now, and obviously the undefeated Cardinals. So, those four, and if I take one...
You don't put Green Bay in there, huh?
No, I don't trust Green Bay's defense at all. And if I, for one game, you know who I'm taking? I'm taking Dallas, and here's why. If we go back to opening night, they stood toe-to-toe with the world champs. Dak Prescott had no training camp. I just think their offense, as good as those other offenses are, I think theirs may be slightly better. And I think defensively, they can make the one or two plays. Randy Gregory's playing well, but any of those four teams could represent the NFC, and it wouldn't be a surprise.
If the Cowboys win the Super Bowl, I'm taking time off, just to let you know.
Mike, I'm renting horses, just so you know. If you want to join us, myself, Santiago, the Cowboys fan, and hopefully you are going to rent horses if Dallas wins, and then ride up and down Dave's street and taunt him if you want to partake.
I'd be happy to. Good. Would you
I'm just letting you know, Mike, I will shoot at all of you.
I'll provide all the apparel to hat. I'm going to go assless chaps. That's just me. I mean, it's up to you. You decide. Spurs, boots, all of it. X to our faces off, get all hyped up, and then just ride up and down the street.
Great. Wonderful.
Now, that's an event I think X2 would love to sponsor. You know, it's all natural, healthy energy. And, you know, go to x2performance.com. We'll have Kawhi Leonard. We'll have Rick DiPietro. We got Saquon Barkley, ironically. Like, we'll just put you up there with the rest of them.
When do you want me to start being a spokesman for X2?
Once you get on the bandwagon, come on. You know, like,
once you show some energy to the show.
Energy. I couldn't have more. I couldn't add more energy and vitriol to the show.
Oh, that's good.
All right, Mike. We love you. We'll talk to you soon. How's the Sunday morning show going, by the way?
You know, I'm a little up and down. I could be better. You know, Matthias Kiwanuka's doing a great job. Anita's rock solid. I think my performance has been okay, but, you know, like a lot of the teams early on, I could do better. And, you know, I have a high standard for myself, so look for better performances from me later on.
New York game day, 8 to 11 every Sunday right here on 98.7. That is Mike Tannenbaum. Mike, we will talk to you soon. Thank you.
All right, guys. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah, he's terrific, by the way.
He's the best. He's like a member of the show now.
He fits right in.
See, but that's why you got to get the right guest, because you don't want just someone that comes on, answers a couple questions, and is gone. You want someone that's immersed in the show. He's up. He's tweeting about the show.
Right. He knows what he's doing, right? Rothenberg is obviously feeling away. Let me dangle a decent carrot in front of him. Something positive about Andrew Thomas, right? Like he knows how to play the game. He's playing the game well.
He's all X2'd up. He's full of energy. He'll be on the horses with me and Santiago. You couldn't have liked that little nugget he threw in that he thinks Dallas is the team.
No, I actually do.
Because when they fail, it's going to be worse.
Because when they fail, and it's not an if they fail, it's a when they fail. Because I got Michael Irvin, book your tickets. I got Mike Tannenbaum, best team in the NFC. They're going to win this whole thing. Santiago, I mean, we know what he does. When they fail, I'm going to be insufferable. You might want to take
it's
that.
No
day
wonder
off.
You're insufferable. You're making up offenses to be angry at. Nobody said they're going to run through the NFC. Nobody said that.
This is what he does, though, Santiago. You know what he does.
Michael Irvin said, "Get your tickets to California."
Stop listening to Michael Irvin. He's been saying that for 25 years.
You can't. Don't take that serious.
Tannenbaum just said they can go to the Super Bowl.
He's probably dehydrated. He's sweat. I mean, he's profusely sweating.
That's a man. I wonder if he has a glandular issue. Like he sweats a lot, right? like maybe see an endocrinologist or something. There's a lot of sweating that goes on with Michael Irvin, right?
I've got no comment.
He gets himself all worked up.
Let's spend a couple minutes on the Mets right now. What did you see yesterday? There was rumors that they were going to reach out to a man that owns like car dealerships as their next GM.
It's been bad, man. They're right back where they were last year.
But how are we late October and they're at the beginning stages of hiring a GM and a manager?
They must have thought it was going to be easier than it was last year, but it's not. I mean, everyone was so cut. Oh, but it looks like Billy Bean's going to be the guy. And then he told Sandy Alderson he's all set. But they better get this done. But they have to get this done, though, Dave.
But they don't even have a list that they're working with right now.
I mean, to the point where it's being suggested that they should hire Lunau from the Astros, who was suspended.
I've heard there's no way that's going to happen.
No, I know, but that's where we're at. But with the CBA coming up, I mean, you can do your business once the World Series is over. I mean, there's a short window there to take care of what you need to get taken care of.
Well, you
got to
get it done quickly. I mean, you know, once that deal gets done, free agency is going to hit in a hurry. You're going to have to make decisions. You can't just have a guy hired in mid-November. We're October 19th. They're just putting a list together of who they want to talk to. So the three guys they wanted, Epstein, Stearns, Bean, you don't even get an interview with these guys.
No, again, another year. Same thing. Same thing happened last year. Which, I mean, I get it. If the team likes you, they don't want to. But I would imagine that, you know, if it was a job that someone like Stearns wanted, he could let the owner know, like, hey, listen, I'm not long for this job. I would like to move on.
I would appreciate moving in a different direction. Well, here's what is upsetting to me. They have more money than anybody, right? I mean, the owner can offer you really whatever he wants.
Correct.
So why isn't this a job that guys are knocking down the door to get themselves into?
Well, you heard what Buster said, right? I mean, Buster said on this show that he's been told it's more dysfunctional now than it was with the Wilpons. So maybe that's part of it. Maybe it's the expectations that, I mean, these GMs, these presidents look at this team and say, I don't know if there's enough talent here to make it realistic for us to win a championship over the next, you know, 3 to 5 years.
Oh, come on.
Like the owner wants.
There's no way that a good GM couldn't turn this into a team that's competing for a title in 3 to 5 years.
Okay, yeah, but do you want to deal with that pressure? Do you want to deal with an owner that's tweeting all the time and all that other stuff? Like, do you want to deal with all that extra stuff?
You're right. There's a lot of baggage. So do you want to deal with that? Do you want to deal with you know, are you going to be the guy? What role does Sandy Alderson have here?
Well, that's the thing, too. I mean, he's supposed to be now in charge of the business part, not the baseball decisions. And now you're dealing with St. Louis is open. The Padres' job is open. So, I mean, you're looking for a manager. I mean, that makes that more difficult.
Yep. I mean, you tell me, you want the Mets job or the Padres' job?
But, I mean, the real problem is this, is that we have no idea what this collective bargaining agreement is going to look like moving forward. Like, how long this fight is going to be. Is there going to be a lockout? Whatever it is. But you'll have from the time the World Series ends to December 1st, when this current collective bargaining agreement expires, to take care of the business you need taken care of. So, I mean, do you want Sandy Alderson as the one to make those decisions?
No, God, no. And no, I got to be honest with you, and I was fine with Sandy originally. I didn't want Sandy Alderson here anymore.
Especially if he's being looked at as a negative. Like, that's part of why they don't want the job.
How quickly that worm has turned, huh? He was a guy there's stability with Sandy Alderson. Now it's like, oh, God, Alderson is still there.
Well, look at his hires. I mean, look at his hires.
They have been nothing short of brutal. All right. Santiago, we'll do more Mets in the coming days when they actually start to make some decisions. Santi, let's go. Time for three stars.
Today's three stars.
And, of course, today's three stars of the day is brought to you by 7-Eleven.
Number three.
Earlier in the show, we were talking about...
Go to the deli counter. I buy some beautiful deli meats.
And I don't know how we ended up here, but we talked about meat thermometers, and Dave was just amazed at this meat thermometer. It can be an app. He can cook things without even having to watch them. I think you may be onto something here, Dave.
Now we can walk around with a thermometer inside of him and just check his stuff.
Oh, no.
I mean, man, saving that all day.
Number two.
And honestly, on that note, I mean, yesterday we were talking about big words and you know, we can learn vocabulary on this program. And today was a lot of dirty words. Thank you, Dan Orlovsky. He was really proud of himself for the comparison he made yesterday. Don LaGreca dropping borderline expletives on the K-Show. And, you know, all we're doing is encouraging Rick DiPietro. It can only get dangerous from here.
number one.
Matt in Astoria, the chef. He's all in for the dinner party. And I just want to name drop him because he's name dropping people like Madonna. That's number one. That's three stars of the day brought to you by 7-Eleven. At 7-Eleven, get a $1 any size iced coffee with 7 rewards. 7-Eleven, take it to 11.
It is rule 76.
No excuses. Play a champion. It's DPHO Rothenberg and...
The Cowboys will fail.
98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the DPHO and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.